Welcome back to the Hoops Temple podcast. Y'all know me. Joining me from Sacramento, Aaron Schroeder.
Hey, guys. Good to be here.
Joining us from New Zealand, Dylan Williamson.
Hello, hello. Good morning.
And joining us from the fourth country to be recording the Hoops Temple podcast, Jack Dan in Mexico. How's it going?
What's going on? Hola. buenos tardes.
And because he's in Mexico, Jack is going to do the entire episode in Spanish. Don't worry, the rest of us are all fluent. We'll know what he's talking about and be able to continue on just fine.
Sí, vámonos.
We're here to talk end of year awards. Gentlemen, I wanted to start off asking you two questions. Question number one, with all NBA being positionless, did you abide by the positionless? And question number two, with MVP also positionless, are your first five for all-NBA the same as your first five for MVP?
Yes and yes. It's the same five, and I went positionless. I did not make a team. I did not abide by the traditional standards.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sending this into the league, so I had to abide by the rule. 65-game minimum and positionless.
I actually ended up being positioned like anyway with just how it ended up working out. But I kind of wanted to do positions anyway because I like the ability of recognizing the centers too, because I feel like they often get left out. But I went and I told myself I'd be open to changing it, and I still ended up being positionless, or I ended up being more positioned, and no.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Dylan, was your first five the same for MVP?
Okay. Yeah, I'd say so.
It's just one. It's a difference of one.
I'm curious.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's do first five MVP ballots. Jack, you said you had one difference. What is your one difference between your MVP ballot and your all-NBA first team?
It's Tatum.
That's for MVP or not first team?
So he's first team, but he's not in my MVP top five.
Really?
Wow.
Because my fifth guy is Brunson.
Okay.
Who I have in my second team.
Okay.
I respect like that.
Thank you. I feel like that's not crazy. Because Brunson to me is pretty far and away three in terms of where the guards are. And I know it's not positioned, but either way. I think he solidified himself enough as like the Knicks franchise guy that it feels right to put him in the MVP thing. But then when it's all NBA and it's more about winning, Tatum. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's how I felt about it.
What is your top five, Jack, for MVP?
So it goes Jokic as the MVP, followed by Luka, Shai, Giannis, Brunson.
Very similar list.
Jokic shooters.
Oh, I hope not.
No, Jokic all around. Although I do remember us doing this last year and saying it was like a month before the end of the season, be like, all right, everyone got Jokic for MVP? We all said yes. And then like a month later, we're all like, are we sure? We gotta get around to Embiid.
I was the first one to bail. I was like, fuck it.
I don't think I did.
Nah, I jumped off.
Yeah. All right. So it sounds like the first five is going to be in some order for all of us.
Yeah.
Jokic, Shai, Luka, Giannis. And then Tatum, I have him as fifth for first team, as well as fifth in my MVP ballots. Aaron, Dylan, how are your brackets looking, ballots looking?
I landed with Jokic at one. I went Giannis at two for my MVP. It's all pretty close. I just felt like the Bucks have kind of been a disaster. Like, they fired their coach midseason, and it's been such a mess, and they're the second seed in the East, or they're one of the best teams. I think they still hold the second seed as of at least yesterday. Yeah, today. And it's because of Giannis averaging like 30, 11, and 6. And Dame has struggled in consistencies. The rest of that roster is pretty barren at certain points. I just was more into that than what Luka or what Shai was doing. I think if Giannis was on the Thunder, they would have like 65 wins. Now, the same for Dallas. It's just those rosters. It just speaks to the kind of player that Giannis is. And then I went Luka at three, SG at four, and Tatum.
Yeah, I had Jokic clear number one, almost in like his own tier, where it's like some of these other guys is a close argument between, but I think number one, Jokic is sort of run away with it. What would be interesting though is if Embiid had made just scraped in at 65 games, even like playing this last week of the season with, you know, one of his knees still bad, what sort of conversation we could have had then. But yeah, Jokic clear number one. I had Shai number two, Giannis three, Luka four, and I went with a difference in MVP and first team and had Tatum as my five, but I didn't have him first team.
Wow.
Oh.
Whoa.
Interesting.
All right. Who's your case for someone else for first team?
I went with Kawhi.
Oh, wow. You homer.
Okay, sure. All right. Wonder why you did that.
Talk to me about Kawhi. What's the Kawhi case?
The Kawhi case is that the Clippers are going to be a 50s win team that fall apart whenever Kawhi doesn't play. This guy on both ends of the floor is really the thing that holds it all together. Any games that he misses, they're a below 500 team. Whenever he sits, they drop off on both ends of the court massively. Whereas Tatum, I don't think he scores as efficiently, not as impactful of a, well, maybe doesn't peak as high on defense as Kawhi does. But as the player on the better team, I feel like I have to reward that more in MVP than in first team.
Yeah, I was seeing the Kawhi on-off stuff. I was debating whether or not he would make my All-NBA teams.
That's a really hot take.
Man. I saw him plus 8 on, negative 4 off. And I was like, all right, we can give it to him. I've been hurt by Kawhi. I came on here around All-Star break and said Clippers are going to win the West, or Clippers have the best chance outside Denver of winning the West. And they've let me
you
down.
Said
but
that?
I think. I said that. I
Why?
Said that. Dylan didn't fight me on it. I was, you know, sometimes in podcasting, you got to fire off takes, Aaron.
Yeah, sure.
This, yeah. You know, you gotta ride the wave.
Now you don't have to lie and pretend that you were saying that for clickbait. You believed in your heart that Kawhi Leonard was the superior player, and that with the Clippers' depth, they could have really achieved something.
I really wanted this to be the Kawhi season. Like when the Clippers went
on, he's probably going to play like 70 games.
Yeah, when the Clippers were winning all those games and they were on the run, and it was clearly Kawhi as the best player. I was like, could we get the Kawhi MVP? Could we get there? Because that would solidify his career for me so much more. So right now it's the early finals MVP in San Antonio, the weird one-off year with the Raptors. If he could get an MVP season or like a close to MVP season, that just makes me feel so much better about ranking him all time. But instead he's left me a little bit cold.
Hmm. To totally derail the conversation, you NBA history aficionados, is Kawhi, does he have a case as the best player ever to not win MVP?
No.
No.
Jerry West never got one.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of like the logo of the league, and they never gave an MVP.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's bizarre.
It's like him, Jeff Acquire, Chris Paul.
I mean, I don't think Elgin Baylor got one. I think there were a couple other guys that are more old school guys. They just ran up against Wilt and West or yeah. Wilt and. I think Oscar did get one.
Yeah, Oscar has one. It's like of the modern era. It's basically him and Chris Paul.
Yeah, but I mean, how many of those guys that you listed, including Chris Paul, ever peaked where they were the best player in basketball? Where there was a season or two, where there was a season or two seasons where they were the best player in the world.
Including Kawhi, none.
Come on, mate. Don't be ridiculous. James Harden, discredit 2019-2020 Kawhi. Anyway.
At least 6 months, he was the number one guy.
Okay, then two. Him and Dwayne Wade.
With Kawhi is you have to get like the best player in the world title, you kind of have to like end the season with it, or at least start a season with it. And he just was never able to put the end caps on it. But I did have Kawhi in my second team. Heading into this season, I wasn't super into the Clippers roster, and so much of it's like Kawhi's going to play 45 games like he always does. If he can play more, the Clippers will be really good. And here he is playing a bunch of games and playing really high-level basketball. He was an All-NBA lock for me for sure, and I respect the first-team All-NBA bit, although I can't imagine that coming to fruition.
Yeah, I have him in second. I mean, he was, I think, probably eighth or ninth in my overall ranking. The Clippers have been – the on-and-off numbers are ridiculous. The Clippers without him, terrible. The last couple of weeks of – not couple of weeks, I guess. They've been okay recently, but – there was a few weeks without Kawhi, and it was terrible. The defense that they lose without him and Westbrook, Westbrook is massive, too. I saw that team live after Westbrook, and it was like a different – the guys weren't the same. It's craziness.
All right, so first team's pretty well solid. I don't know if anybody wants to just touch on the insane season Luka's had. We kind of touched on Jokic being a tier on his own. Giannis, Aaron, you made the beautiful case of why he should be number two. I have him number four on my MVP ballot. Anyone feeling impassioned about Luka?
All I know, every game that motherfucker is questionable, every game that dude has 50 points drives me insane. As my Kings have like fallen apart, it's like Luka, Achilles, questionable. And it's like, Luka did what? Luka has 27 and a half. And I'm like, God damn it, dude. he is probably the best one-man show in basketball right now. And he just he dominates the ball. Massive usage, like 37%. You wouldn't want anyone else to have the ball in their hands, though. And he actually is handling the off-ball responsibilities better when Kyrie has the ball. And the Mavs been pretty good because of it. It's an MVP season in different years. And I think, you know, we came into the season with Luka like 7th or 8th in our rankings. We were pretty impassioned about that. Yeah, we did. Yeah, at least I did. I had him like, say, yeah, we did. And, you know, basically cited, he's a fat, whiny bitch, basically. Sorry to be like that. That's kind of what like the case was. He has proven to play some pretty nice basketball this season.
The defense has also improved. Now, there are still times where he is, as Aaron just eloquently put, a fat, whiny bitch and doesn't get back on defense. But when he does get back on defense, I do feel like the effort has been better. He is doing better, putting a hand in the guy, his chest, sticking with his defender. I mean, like, they do usually hide him. But if he gets switched on a guy of like size, it's not just barbecue chicken time and time again. Like, he is actually performing decently enough on defense.
Yeah, it's not like James Harden, where like once you switch on to the dude, he's like, oh, well, I guess I'm giving up. I do think that his on-ball defense has improved, but I do think that his off-ball defense is still an issue. In particular, the fact that he has to guard the weakest offensive player, I think actually hurts your defense, and that he provides no help defense at all. And that's, you know, he's guarding the one guy that you're happy to help off of. So I still think that he has a decent defensive negative, especially when you combine that with the fact that he's never going to get back in transition at all. But the offense is ridiculous.
I think the playoffs are going to teach us so much about Luka this year, because his team is miles better than it's ever been. We've always asked, like, what would he look like with solid Kawhi, with like a good, healthy, normal Kawhi season? And we're getting that. This is the first, what is it? I think it's probably the first scandal-free Kyrie season since 2014. It's insanity. He's getting all of that. They made awesome trades at the deadline. If Luka has a chance to either, like, if he loses in the first round, people are going to be talking about him crazy next year. If he goes to, like, Western Conference Finals, even if he makes a deeper run of the finals, people are going to look at him as an MVP next season for sure. He's so perfectly positioned with this Mavs team. It's kind of a broke year for the playoffs, it feels like.
And can we already just put money on him being the MVP favorite? Like, I don't want to bet on him winning MVP. I want to bet that Vegas will start this next season with him as the MVP favorite. That just feels like the easiest
prediction. I think Western Conference Finals or deeper, he's the MVP favorite when you start the year.
What I used to call him, do you guys remember? Next year's MVP.
Yeah.
I call him that every year.
I was going to say, hasn't he been like the Vegas favorite for like the past 3 years?
Yeah, every year. Next year's MVP. But I'm really scared of this Dallas team. I am too. I think they're going to whoop the Clippers.
They're a good team. This is different. PJ is PJ, but Daniel Gafford looked so good, especially in person when I got to see that team like click. When you can bring out a big like Lively and then a big like Gafford and just switch them off, you're just hammering this other team. It's insane physicality for those two guys.
Yeah, it's really funny. He's always made lob threats look good. Like, he's made Dwight Powell look somewhat serviceable for years.
Yeah.
And then, like, JaVale McGee didn't look good with him. And I was like, man, is JaVale washed? And then JaVale looked good elsewhere.
No, but, like, JaVale's washed.
Now JaVale's just... but now he's got...
washed. I like JaVale. Jack doesn't like JaVale. I like JaVale.
Either way, this is about Luka. And now Luka always has either Lively or Gafford out there. Or if they go small ball... Like, they have the versatility to go small ball and have Maxi Kleber out there as the five. I think Dallas is going to be sneakily fun to watch. I hope they don't draw Denver in the first round, but like any other matchup, if they get the Clippers, I'm totally into watching this matchup.
Oh, I have a quick question. Yeah. I have a quick question for the crowd. Before I want to read my second team on NBA. I want to get a little back on track, but I have one quick question. Between Dallas and Phoenix, who is the nightmare round one exit? Like, hunting the most. Round one, they lose in six in round one. Which team goes into the offseason like, I can't fucking believe you just lost in the first round. Like, what a mess.
I think it's the Suns, right? I mean, you can't do everything you did in the last two offseasons, the Durant, the Beal, and not expect it to work when all three guys are healthy. Like, that's been the only argument against the... It's like, oh, well, when they're on the floor, they'll be fine. And they're on the floor, and they're not that great. They're a good team. Okay, wait. They're a good team. They're a fine team.
Sure.
I don't think they're going anywhere.
I think the Suns at least have the, like, fallback excuse of, like, well, Beal was hurt most of the year. We didn't quite get to gel. Dallas is like, we gave up everything.
I guess the counterpoint to the Beal thing is like, hey, you got a career season from Grayson Allen,
yeah,
of all people. Yusuf Nurkic looked fine at time. Like, you just got performances out of throwaway pieces. And Beal was healthy for some of the year. Like, do you want to bet on Beal being healthy next year? I don't.
No, but they do.
I don't. It's ridiculous. It's insane. And if you're betting, and if you're going to the offseason betting on Bradley Beal's health, then you are in a bad, bad.
Dylan, break the tie. Who would you rather? Who's in worse shape if they lose in the first round?
Yeah, the Suns have the biggest excuse just because they haven't been healthy all season, but they also are working with a much stricter timeline because Kevin Durant is in his mid-30s. And every year that they aren't contending for a championship with Kevin Durant, they are closer to being, you know, in basketball hell. So I think it's worse for the Suns.
Hey, speaking of Kevin Durant, he's on my second team all NBA. Looping this back around, my second team all NBA.
Aaron, why don't you read your second team? Yeah, give us the whole five guys.
I have Jalen Brunson, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James, and Anthony Davis.
Okay.
Marking those names down on the spreadsheet. You said Brunson, Durant, Davis, Kawhi, and LeBron?
Davis, Kawhi, yeah. Speaking of the Mavs, 136-142 in overtime over Houston. Kyrie has 48.
Holy shit. Really?
Yeah. Luka has 35-10-11. Kyrie has 48. The Mavs were down big.
Would you hear an argument that this is the best Kawhi season? I mean, they haven't done anything in the playoffs, but so far in the regular season, this is his best year. It's one of his best years, at least.
It's either that or 2019. Yeah, I totally accept that.
2017. Yeah. 2017 was his best regular season.
He had more, didn't he have just more volume in 19 though?
19, he played like 60 games. I mean, he really was warming into like, working his way into the rotation. Yeah, we're onto that pretty, yeah.
Dylan, who is your second team?
Jason Tatum, Anthony Edwards, Devin Booker, Jalen Brunson. And do you guys remember for like the first 60 games of the season where Tyrese Haliburton was the best offensive player in the NBA? Or thereabouts.
I do.
And so I'm going to give him credit for that first half of the season and give him second team in the NBA.
Man. Mm.
Can you read that one more time for me? Just for my...
Yeah.
I was just trying to collect all the names in my head.
Yeah. It is hard. Jason Tatum, mm-hmm. Anthony Edwards, mm-hmm. Devin Booker, Jalen Brunson, and Tyrese Haliburton.
The guards. Second team all guards.
Second team all guards. It's all right. Wait till I'm all defensive and I'm naming 10 straight centers.
Jack, who was your second team? I know you had Brunson.
Yeah, I had Brunson, Durant, Kawhi, and then Edwards, Sabonis. That's my alt. All NBA second is Brunson, Edwards, Leonard, Durant, Sabonis.
I'm so glad I'm not the only one that has Sabonis on here.
Thank you. Because I think you have to. For the same reason that like I understand the logic of putting Haliburton on there, as much as I don't agree with it, the numbers with Sabonis are I could pelt you endlessly with Sabonis statistics that would make your head spin. Like, he is very close. He probably won't do it, but he's not going to be very far off leading the league in both rebounds and assists this season. That's something that has only been done by Will. And he didn't do it in the same season.
Sabonis is averaging basically 20 points, a little bit less than 14 boards, 8 assists per game. He's leading the league in triple-doubles, double-doubles, 4th in win share, 6th in box plus-minus, 5th in VORP. He's top 10 in like deflections. He's contesting like top 15 or top 20 numbers of shots per game. I was surprised when I was doing my defensive, all defensive team work, how often his name popped up with defensive metrics. And I was like, this maybe shows that defensive metrics aren't the greatest, but also Sabonis is just everywhere. Like, I'm disappointed in you, Aaron. This is where you stake your claim.
Thank you.
Dylan, at least, is a proper Clippers fan.
Yeah. I had him third team. Sabonis is on my third team. My Sabonis rant is he is the only good player on the Kings this season. And as we've seen other players, basically the entire rest of the roster take a step back, except for Keegan Murray took a tiny step forward. Sabonis has been night in, night out, crazy consistent, controls the glass, runs our offense. And maybe I spent too much time on Twitter, but the Kings being like mid has brought in so much Sabonis hate. You know, the Kings is going to be the first team to win 45 games with no good players. We have no good players in the roster. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? 45 wins, not an NBA player in sight. So yeah, no, I think Fox has been inconsistent. He's had like 8-9 games with a game score under 10, which are like true shitters, like real shitters only in game scores under 10. And Sabonis has just been consistent enough and can elevate the play of average players to at least look like rotation guys.
Yeah, Fox shitters are unique games. If you have, I don't know, Nate or Dylan, if you've had the chance to see one live, they are magical. They're like whales. I'm telling you how it happens. He starts the first quarter with like a, ooh, don't shoot that three. And he does it three times and he smokes them, all of them. And then Brown pulls him at the 6-minute mark. He goes off and then he's back in the second quarter and he smokes three more and he keeps fucking shooting them. He just won't stop. For some reason, if he's missing them, he's like, I gotta just keep shooting. He's got Deion Waiters energy. It's terrible. I love the three-pointers. I love the three-point revolution from De'Aaron Fox. But my God, we could tone it down just a second. It was so good at the beginning of the year because he was hitting it out at a lower volume. And then for some reason, okay, well, maybe not for some reason, his confidence builded. And now he's shooting. I don't know if he's actually shooting more. It just feels like he is. And he's shooting at a way worse clip. And now the season-wide numbers are back down to where they were before. So it's like, so we had this whole three-point revolution mayhem at the beginning of the season, and it's all for nothing. It's all gone.
I've got the number on Fox's three-point frequency. Last year was his career high. He shot 25% of his shots from three. This year he's up at 34%. So he's demolished his career high in three-point frequency.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten to witness that personally, but I have had to watch Killian Hayes play basketball against the Washington Wizards in person. So that was an experience that I'll never get back.
Nate, I had to watch Killian Hayes drop 17 points in a loss.
I was at the same game. That's why I raised my for the visual viewers. I raised my hand. That's not the same game. That was a real fuck shitter, for real.
That was a real fuck shitter. Oh my God.
I have a question. How many games has De'Aaron Fox played in? 69. How many games has De'Aaron Fox taken 12 or more three-pointers? 12.
I know the answer. I'm allowed them to do it.
17?
Okay, we're a little too far off. It's 8.
Okay.
8 times De'Aaron Fox has taken 12 threes. It is interesting because I think in the preseason, all I wanted for Christmas was a De'Aaron Fox three-point revolution. And we got it. And then he stopped shooting mid-range jumpers and he stopped attacking the basket. And it's like, wait, go back. Like, I just wanted him to have a consistent shot, not make it like the entire purpose of his game. He also was nursing a shoulder injury basically the entire season. That limited his effectiveness driving. I think that's part of the reason he shot so many 45 footers. He was in my, if there was a fifth team all NBA, he might've snuck in there for me, but I just really wasn't interested.
I was surprised how fast I eliminated him when I was doing this debate. But someone I did not eliminate and someone who's only attempted 12 or more three-pointers three times this season, Jalen Brunson is the sole player to be unanimously second team, all five of our.
Really?
Our ballots. Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
What makes me feel significantly better about having him in top five for MVP.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's been leading the league in usage rating since Randall went down. And like the team has not been as good and he's been a little bit, his efficiency's kind of dropped since Randall went down. And part of that's just, he has to do so much without Randall and OG Anunoby and Mitchell Robinson, who I feel like we've all just kind of forgotten. This team's starting center has been out for like half the year, but no, there was a point where I thought he could have snuck into my fifth place for MVP. So you're definitely not crazy there, Jack.
Brunson's the best Nick since Patrick Ewing.
Totally.
We're stuck in this.
Okay. No,
I'm with you. I don't think it's crazy.
If Brunson tears, if Brunson can like win a playoff series, then we should have that conversation.
Totally.
I will give you that. If he wins a playoff series, we could start having that conversation.
It's until not that far off.
But Carmelo would. What was it, 2013? He's third place in MVP. The team is 50-something wins, 55, 56.
What year is it?
Self-memory. 2013, I want to say.
Yeah, LeBron's like, how far in first place was LeBron that season?
Oh, LeBron's like near unanimous. It's him, and then Durant steals like 12 votes.
Yeah, and so when it's like, when you know who the MVP is and it's clear, you can like kind of wipe your ass with the other votes. You're like, Carmelo. And you're like, it's not as impactful, I guess. I'm just doing hot takes, but. Jalen Brunson, great season.
It's It's close. It's close.
Isn't it crazy we're having the conversation about Jalen Brunson, though, at this level, like second team All-NBA? I don't know where we had him in our top 100, but he is he's unguardable. And it's like it's ethical hoops, man. It's ethical hoops. It's not like it's there's no – I don't see the foul baiting. I don't see – he doesn't do the bullshit SGA does. He flips his head back every 6 seconds trying to get foul calls. It's like mid-range dominance, and the Knicks play good hoops. I'm all for it. I have no moral qualms with Jalen Brunson's game.
Yeah, I saw his 40-something piece against the Kings live, and I think I fell in love a little bit. Aaron's right. It's weird. Like, ethical hoops is such a Twitter term, and I feel like so chronically online for even, like, hearing Aaron say it and be like, oh, yeah, totally, dude, ethical hoops.
Good news. Uh-oh. We had him 25th in our preseason rankings.
That's pretty good.
ESPN had him 32nd.
Wow.
Fuck yeah. Wish fun to see you.
Fuck ESPN.
Hell yeah. Hell of a contract. Oh, my God. For Brunson. Jesus.
And the Mavs are the dumbest team on earth. Moving. We'll leave it there.
Yeah.
One thing on Brunson, just on his ability to score ethically. A lot of the other guys that get brought up as like ethical scorers, these guys that don't draw fouls, that shoot a lot of mid-ranges, you know, play an aesthetic sort of way. A lot of those guys don't actually end up contributing to very efficient offense. Like, it looks really good, and then because they're not supplementing their efficiency with free throws, the offensive ratings are actually mediocre. But Jalen Brunson, when he's on the floor, the Knicks have a 122.7 offensive rating, which is through the roof, and they're about 15 points worse when he sits. So not only is it ethical, but it's efficient.
I like it.
Man, I love it.
You got one of those stats for Anthony Edwards by chance?
Put me on the spot, Nate. Jesus.
All right. Well, so Anthony Edwards is one of the guys with three votes for second team. And it was you, Jack, Nick, and I. Jack, you got some Edwards takes?
Oh, on the spot. But about Edwards, he's been the reason why I had him as high as I did, and which is second team, is I've been so impressed with the non-town time here. I assumed they were going to crater. I assumed this team was going to fall to like maybe six territory, and he has been unreal in carrying that offense. When he gets hot from three in those fourth quarters, he is he's unstoppable. He's also cold, just though. So cool. He's cool.
He's cool. But when he is cold, it could be a rough
okay, match. Yeah. But okay. I'll give you that. A cold ant is terrible. He's like the ultimate kind of microwave guy where he could be insanely hot and Jesus Christ, oh my God, get this guy off the court.
Yeah. Some of his offensive metrics are a little bit up and down. Some of his on-offs aren't the best. But he shows up a lot in the defensive metrics that we have. The deflections, the shots contested, defensive plus minus. And when you balance that versus his offense, like a lot of these guys, you know, I too had Halliburton in my second team. We'll get to him in a minute. But like Halliburton's just giving you offense. And his offense is better than what that Edwards gave you for most of the year. But his defense is nowhere near that. And so I like Edwards as a two-way candidate. He's just a very impactful player. And yeah, that's my case for him.
Yeah, I mean, part of the reason that the Wolves are able to be such a great team is not only is Rudy Gobert absolutely carrying them to an elite defense, and helping with that too, give him credit, but they finally have managed to get an efficient offense around that as well. And the big reason for that is that Anthony Edwards is basically running their offense, and they get to a very high level when he's on the floor.
I saw him throw Gobert a lob, something I didn't think he knew how to do. His pick and roll game last year, absolutely garbage. This year, better. Aaron, do you have him in your third team?
I do. Of course I do. He snuck in. I wanted to note in our preseason rankings, we had him 18th. Pretty good call. Pretty good. I think that was a reasonable jump. Yeah, I mean, the Wolves have flirted with the one seed for a good portion of the season. They're still in the race to get it. Even with Towns' injury, they're still a very, very good team. And honestly, it's not a testament to how great he is. Probably my favorite moment this season was Anthony Edwards demolishing the Warriors early on in the season. Does anyone else remember that? Like, he hit like six big shots and was just talking shit to Draymond. That was like peak basketball to me. I was like, this is the best. Jack, do you remember that? Remember when Edwards just like pieced the Warriors up and was like talking shit to Draymond?
Vaguely, yeah. Was there like a Nas Reed moment in that game?
I don't remember. It was just it was just it's like it was like I thought I was watching Kobe because he was like clutch mid-range jumpers. I'm like, yes, 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 yes. Like, destroy them. I enjoyed it. He could be a monster point of attack defender. And when he gets hot, he kind of engages on both sides at like this like Super Saiyan level. He's just love.
Yeah, he doesn't do it as much. Like, it's a long regular season. So they're like McDaniels, even Nikhil Alexander Walker, I feel like probably picks up more defensive assignments in the course of any regular game. But that, those final 5 minutes, if he's not in foul trouble, he just will lock guys up. He can flip that switch in a really fun way.
Yeah. When he locks in, I think he is legitimately one of the best on-ball defenders in the NBA.
All right. So that's a guy that we had three yeses on. Sabonis, I meant to double check this. Is he the third team for both Aaron and Dylan, or is he just completely out for one of you?
I had him third team.
Dylan.
I actually haven't decided on my last spot. I'm open to arguments. I'll get there in the end. He's one of the guys I was considering. I don't know how I feel about choosing like the second best player on the 9 seed to be All-NBA. Oh,
second best player.
Listen, Malik Monk's hurt.
I know.
Jack,
that was intentionally inflammatory. Okay.
Jack, how many wins do the Kings get this year if Sabonis doesn't?
20?
22, maybe? Like 22? A 23 win team? Yeah, it's legitimate, like 20 wins on his own. Just maybe he's not a 20 win guy, but the consistency is all that matters. Yes, the team has not been great. What's been most interesting this season is that De'Aaron Fox is no longer a good clutch player. And this season, it was Malik Monk the entire time. Like, towards the end of last season, it was like, oh my God, De'Aaron Fox is taking and making the craziest shots I've ever seen in my life. And this year, it's actually Monk who's been this closer. So a little taken away from the Fox dynamic. But yeah, Sabonis is great. He's on my third team. Can I read my third team on NBA? Are we there?
No, we've not talked about some of these guys. I want us to actually, let's enjoy the seasons that some of these guys have had.
Yeah, please. Take your time.
Does anyone else have Kawhi takes? He had 2 second team. He is my third team guy. Dylan's first team. Dylan gave a little piece. Aaron, Jack, any strong feelings? Or Dylan, more strong feelings about Kawhi?
Nothing too strong. I love Kawhi. He was probably eighth for me. I don't have anything too crazy to say about him.
Yeah, he's a fun guy.
He's a fun guy, yeah.
All right, who else do we have to vote? Kevin Durant got three second team nods, myself, Jack, and Aaron. I guess one of the things, for me, having Durant over Booker, because I was trying to figure out how to piece those two guys. In a vacuum, they are two of the top 10 players in the league. The way they've played this year, I feel like Booker has been better when he's been there. But Durant has just been there a little bit more. I know the games played is close. It's 70-63. But like some of the Durant slog was those early games without both Booker and Beal that I feel like hurt some of his numbers. But Durant's been a very willing, good passer and asked to do a lot defensively that a 35-year-old should not have to do, and he has done well enough. Not making the case for him to be on all defense, but I do think his defense needs to be appreciated.
I mean, absolutely. How many times this season did he get switched on to the other team's star play? It was constantly. If it wasn't, yeah. So who was it for them? Grayson Allen getting most of the big assignments? It's a lot of switches to Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Heading into the season, we had KD, like, we were skeptical of the Suns because Durant would have to do so much, and he's done all of it. He has been this like impeccable offensive workhorse. He has handled these defensive assignments. Kevin Durant's played in 2,500 minutes this season. Do you guys know the last time he cracked 2,500 minutes in a season?
Warriors first season.
It's 2016. His last season the OKC. Damn. It's been that long, and he's played 70 games, and the whole question. I mean, last season how many games he played last year was 47 games, and we were like, is he third team All NBA because there was no limits. I think we anticipated 50 something, maybe 60 games for him, and he's gonna crush that and play legitimately full season at this crazy high level.
Dylan and I were much more optimistic. We did the first part of the top 100 without you. We had him as fourth coming into the year. So
wow, nice job. We I had think that faith. As a win.
Yeah. All what I'm saying is that we're dominating the top 100s this year. Like, we're not going to talk about any of the misses because there just aren't any. Perfect. Perfect.
Let me find one.
All right. Tyrese Haliburton,
Andrew Wiggins 45. You guys did that. I didn't do that. You guys did that. I didn't do that.
All right.
Thank you. Ridiculous. Okay.
Our one list was the most inexplicable single season fall off in NBA.
No, this was expected. This is what Andrew Wiggins has been for 10 years. Why would he like this? This is Andrew Wiggins. My goodness.
I did not buy into Wiggins at all. Oof.
He had finals MVP buzz like two seasons before that.
All right. Tyrese Halliburton. He had mine and Dylan's second team votes. What's here? Dylan, you want to talk about him?
So he started out the season as the centerpiece on the best offense in the NBA. Everything revolved around him, the way he was able to push the ball in transition, dime up his teammates. The shot making was ridiculous, the three-pointer that looks like it's never going to go in, but somehow just never misses. And then he got hurt, and the later season, he's, I think, playing through injury, trying to get to the 65-game minimum. So shout out to the NBA for making him do that. But I'm giving credit to that early season, ignoring what I've seen lately. Early in the season, he was carrying one of the best offenses in the NBA. And without a great talent around him, there's still a 122.8 offensive rating when he's on the floor.
To speak to that, early season, first 32 games, it's 24 points per game, almost 13 assists per game on basically 50-40, like 86 splits. Since returning from injury, 16.6, 9 assists, 45% from the field, and 33% from beyond the arc. So dropping from 40 to 33. But I just felt like in looking at the story of this year, I felt like he deserved it. Did he make, Jack and Aaron, do you make your guys' third teams? Or did he fall out?
Aaron, you want to go first? You're muted.
He was in my third team.
Okay. That's uncomfortable. I left him off. I left Halliburton off for Jaylen Brown.
I respect it. I respect it. What's the hesitancy on him? Talks through it.
On Brown over Halliburton. So Halliburton's second half has been really bad. The Pacers are still above 500. The East sucks. He has missed Buddy Hield in a big way. I think when you watch that team, he kind of misses a bit of that spacing. They have Nesmith still, but Mathurin can be spotty, and he's been out for most of the last he's been out a lot. Nembhard hasn't really been. He's been fine, but he hasn't been the elite shooter that he's flashed. I don't want to say I hate arguing against Halliburton because I love his game. And I loved what he did in the first half. And obviously that in-season tournament run was fantastic. But it's hard for me to look at that bad of a second half with that many issues and ignore an almost 24-point-per-game scorer who takes on one of the top defensive roles basically every night for one of the best teams in the league. It's hard to justify leaving that guy off for Halliburton, who looked so bad for half the year.
Yeah.
And I know he's hurt. And, like, I understand that he's hurt. It's not against, like, that's understandable. He's hurt. He's getting back from it. But I gotta give it to Brown. Oof, Jaylen Brown here.
Fair enough. All right, let's read out those third teams, boys, and see who... Who we've got the most commonality on, because everyone left is just a single second team selection that we haven't really dove deeper in our discussions on. Aaron, who's your thirds?
My third team consisted of Stephen Curry, Devin Booker, if he plays in, I think, two more games. I think he has two more games to get into. Domantas Sabonis, Anthony Edwards, and Tyrese Halliburton. A lot of guys already touched on. I considered the second team basically like a whole season of like kickassery, and the third team was there's some guys with some inconsistent moments. Like the Warriors have been shit, the Kings have been disappointing, the Halliburton's had a tough second half. They kind of found their way to the third team.
That's fair. Dylan, who are your third team guys?
Kevin Durant, who we already talked about. Let me, before I make a fool of myself, just check games played on this guy right here.
Is it Donovan Mitchell?
Yeah, it was Donovan Mitchell.
Didn't make it.
He's out. All right, then I guess that frees up a spot for our good friend Domantas Sabonis.
Woo!
Let's go!
And then Steph Curry and LeBron. And then I guess it's like who's next? Like Anthony Davis as the last spot.
I mean, if you want him to be, he can.
The second best player on the 9 seed.
I went Davis, LeBron of the second
whoa,
team.
Whoa, whoa.
I was on.
Then Lakers are the eighth seed at the moment.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Then I'm convinced.
Kevin Durant, LeBron and Davis, Steph Curry, and we'll go Domas.
Can I take a second really quickly to acknowledge some of the players, the four players that might have been all NBA but missed too many games with Joel Embiid, Donovan Mitchell, Kyrie Irving, and a little Alperen Şengün. Maybe he got some consideration, but missed the mark, unfortunately.
No love for Jimmy Butler, who also missed the mark. Lauri Markkanen also missed the mark.
Not even a second. Not even a
Jamal Murray.
I did not think about Lauri Markkanen.
Jamal Murray.
Lauri, do you know what the Jazz's defensive rating is?
I only do you know what their record is in the last 30 later. Games? They're like 4-26.
I saw it for just like all recent All-Stars, and so Lauri was in my like grand player pool, and I started eliminating guys by missed games. All right.
Hang on. Before we move on from the Lauri Markkanen slander, do we know what their net rating is when he's actually playing? They're the worst team in the they're one of the worst teams in the NBA, and they're a positive 0.2 when he's on the floor. That's like the Kings' net rating on the season.
Okay. All right. Honestly, I was well played. I'm a little bit pissed at the Jazz because when we did like a mid-season, we all met for a mid-season bond, and I was so proud of myself for fucking nailing the Utah Jazz. Like at the beginning of the season, I made this big old video. I was like, you know what? I actually kind of like this collection of guys, and I like Will Hardy. I think they'll be okay. I think they'll win some games. And early in the season, they did. And I felt like a genius. And then at the trade deadline, they destroyed it. Everything that I loved was all like Oche Abaji was gone, Olynyk was gone, and the team was terrible, and I looked like an idiot. And then that video got views again. That's when that video got views.
Oh no.
After. Now. It's hell. Anyway.
I had a video on the Hall of Fame just letting in Vince and Billups because they were the first to announce. So I was like, this is great. Good job, Basketball Hall of Fame. Way to keep the bar high. And like, you know, it got views and then tapered off. Like 3 days later, they announced that also Michael Cooper and Walter Davis got in. I was like, fuck, because now it's getting views again.
Ruined people my life. Like,
You sure? You sure? All right,
silly
Jack.
Making a Hall of Fame video on that.
Who are your three?
Booker, Curry, Jaylen Brown, LeBron, Davis. So notable
exclusions. Was I too high on LeBron and Davis? Sorry, Jack, go ahead.
That's okay, you're good. Notable exclusions were Kyrie, I think, is at 63, so if he plays two more games.
He's at 65,
actually.
Yeah,
he's at 55.
Which is crazy, because I don't remember being that injured, and he's still at fully 55.
Yeah, right? Like, I wanted to
same thing.
Kyrie
same
there.
Thing for Mitchell when I was making my team. I was like, yeah, he hasn't missed. Like, he missed that stretch, but he hasn't missed that much time. And I was like, wait, has he missed? Okay, yeah, he missed.
It was early. Season. He missed a lot of time.
Yeah.
I really, really, really wanted to include Zion or Brandon Ingram.
Yeah.
Brandon Ingram, I think, might get it. He's currently injured, and he needs to play two more games. I don't know if he'll actually get there. I don't think he'll get there. But I wanted to give them love because the Pelicans have been awesome this year.
Yeah. Ingram was probably my next guy as well.
Yeah. I couldn't figure out a way to shoehorn Ingram or Williamson in over Brown, Halliburton.
I went with Davis, Booker, Kawhi, Jaylen Brown, Zion Williamson for my third team.
Oh, you got him in. There we go.
Notably excluding LeBron James.
Why am I the highest on these two fucking Lakers, guys? What's happening? I had them both second team.
I am stunned that you left LeBron.
You've got his jersey what? Hanging up right behind you.
I mean, I do. He's made he's made enough of the NBA team. That's mirrored. I don't know which way I'm pointing. But, you know, the thing is I dug into the Lakers on-off numbers. They're a lot better with LeBron on and Davis off than Davis without LeBron and whatnot. I have watched a ton of Lakers games this season. I mean, I watch a ton every season, but I've watched just a lot. And I feel like whenever they play, it's LeBron giving up the defensive lapses that Davis then has to cover for. Offensively, you put LeBron out there, you can generate offense. You have to put a lot of defenders around him to like continue to play well. I felt like this has been some of the emptiest numbers that I've ever seen from LeBron. But in the last 21 years, 25, 7, and 8 looks really good. But when he used to give you 25, 7, and 8, that was a 50-win team. And right now, it's just like he knows how to get his numbers. He knows how to get there, but it's not winning games. They're winning because of their defense, and that is not LeBron's forte. That is not where he is helping that team. And I will say, I punished the Lakers for being this bad. Like I wanted a second Celtic in. I wanted to have of Brown in because of how good the team has been and how much he has meant playing defense. I also got some good efficiency numbers for him. But I couldn't get there with having both LeBron and Davis. So it's like, I'm only taking one of the two, and I went with LeBron.
I'm making an amendment. I'm changing it.
You're changing it.
I can't be the highest person on LeBron James. I'm not doing
good,
this.
Good, yeah. Bring him down to the third.
I brought him down to the third.
Put Sabonis in the second. Come on, Aaron.
I put Edwards in the second.
Actually, that's
fine.
I have that too.
Yeah. Now Edwards LeBron, is a unanimous second.
LeBron's defense this year, I mean, it's for the last 2 years, it's kind of the hardest LeBron take to talk about. But I always try and go to the Lakers-Kings games because they're always exciting. But it's always like, oh, shit, LeBron. If Wembanyama gets to that level, I am not going to have that much trouble getting into the Wemby GOAT conversation because of emotional attachment to like seeing Bron play, because his defense in the last couple of years has gotten a little bit scary. I'm sure Nate knows exactly what I'm talking about. Sometimes he gets into it with refs for just the entire possession. And the Lakers are like, he is complaining histrionics on one end of the court. And you only see it because you're live, because you're like, oh, yeah, he's right there. The camera's looking at the actual game where the Lakers are getting pummeled. And like in LeBron's matchup is dancing all over the Lakers defense. And LeBron is in histrionics on the other end of the court. And he obviously has his incredible possessions, but he gives up so many 4v5s with the Lakers. It's insanity. You don't realize it until you're live.
I mean, the broadcast is taken to showing it. Like the broadcast is taken to like, there's a fast break going on, and it will cut away from the fast break sometimes and be like, yeah, it's LeBron underneath the basket that the Lakers are trying to score on, still arguing as the other team. You don't know what's going on the other end. You're like, is it a dead ball? Do they get the stop? And then like, oh, the other team now has three more points. Like, yeah. Great. Thanks, LeBron. I couldn't get there with having both of them on this team. And the Lakers are, when they've been winning, it's been through defense. So that was Davis for me. Aaron, you are now the highest guy on Davis. Do you want to talk about opening?
Going to take him out as well.
I hate this. Can I make a quick announcement? Come on. A quick live pod announcement that the Houston Rockets have been eliminated from playoff contention. They're no longer in. They are mathematically eliminated.
Fucking Tari Eason, I will never forgive you for this. You gave me so much hope, dude. I was so rooting for you.
I can't even, my body rejects the idea. Talking about Anthony Davis.
Before you do that, can I give a brief, very brief defense of LeBron?
Sure.
Usage is higher than Jaylen Brown. Scoring efficiency is higher than Jaylen Brown. Assist percentage better than Jaylen Brown. When they are both on the court, there is less than 1 point in the offensive rating between the two. So to say that LeBron's stats are empty while Jaylen Brown's are impactful, when Jaylen Brown is clearly his superior teammates and their offenses are basically the same, I think is maybe misguided. Certainly the defensive difference is great. Brown is by far a better on-ball defender, although LeBron still might be better as a help defender when he tries. But I just don't want to skip over the fact that LeBron is a more efficient scorer on higher volume, and by, you know, impact numbers, on-off numbers, they can be noisy, they can be flawed, but by far a better player from all indications in terms of impact than Jaylen Brown is.
I mean, if you want to just go by what the numbers say, but sometimes don't vibes matter?
Yeah.
Vibes.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown is a vibes pick. The numbers on Brown over Davis are very ugly, but certainly vibes. No contest.
Okay, I mean, in support of that, if I was doing like all NBA is not an all. I mean, I guess with positionless, it is essentially a top 15. But for MVP, when I did a top 15, I have LeBron higher than Jaylen Brown, but I have Jaylen Brown, I guess, higher than LeBron when I was prioritizing for All-NBA. Because I think there's a lot of him. I think his offense is infinitely more impactful than Jaylen Brown's offense, but Jaylen Brown's defense, I think there's probably numbers that wouldn't support it, but it feels like it, which is why I'm saying it. Vibes.
I do think there's a case. I just don't think that we should all be saying LeBron is, you know, a garbage player, and then put in Jaylen Brown, whose team is 6 points better on offense when he's off the floor.
Celtics are also really good.
Yeah, Celtics are really good. It messes with the numbers, the fact that the Celtics are so good.
Yeah.
Really anyway, good. Aaron, tell us why Anthony Davis is on par with Domantas Sabonis.
he's going to play like 75 games. I'm like, if Davis is going to be healthy, honestly, a huge part of why I like LeBron and Davis so much is I think the roster around them is the worst roster in the league. I talked about the shit shuffle. It's like they got a really good D'Lo season. Like D'Lo has been surprisingly good this year. And still, it's like, holy shit, can we please not, like, please help. Davis is 15th in points per game, and he's third in rebounds per game, and he's second in blocks per game. The rebounding numbers have been astonishing. He has just owned the glass and been the kind of the consistent part of this Lakers team that has been one of the better teams. It's the West is pretty brutal, and I feel like the rest of their roster isn't giving me any favors. And I mean, we said before the season, like, if Davis can stay healthy, well, he's healthy and he's playing really well. And so I'm just back to the caliber of player that he is.
And if the Lakers' most common lineup is Reeves, Rui, LeBron, Davis, and D'Lo. How many good defensive players are in that lineup?
Exactly. He makes up for all of this garbage. Should he be defensive player of the year? I don't know.
Not quite. The numbers, we'll get there for next. But we've talked about 14 guys. Devin Booker, we've talked about 13 guys. Devin Booker made all of everyone's teams. Does anyone have an impassioned case for Booker? Dylan, you are the high man with having him on second team.
Yeah, I'll make a very simple case in that the only time that the Suns look like a team that might legitimately do something is when Devin Booker's playing. I think he's clearly the most impactful offensive player. He has a higher usage and scoring efficiency than Durant does. I think he really has been their point guard. He's at a 30% assist percentage, which is, you know, by far the highest of his. Well, it's actually not the highest of his career, but very high in his career and easily better than Durant. Durant off, Booker on minutes are better than the other way around. So that's Booker on, Durant off is better than the other way around. 122 offensive rating when he's on, 9 points worse when he's off. I think he's just an incredibly impactful offensive player.
Yeah. And if you just look at the games that they have him for down here, they're 40-23 with Booker. They're 6-8 without Booker. Now, usually when they have Booker, it's Booker and Durant versus when you just have Durant, it's not necessarily Durant and someone else. So like that does skew the numbers. But Booker has helped them be an elite team when he's been healthy. And does anybody know off the top of their head, assuming because most of you guys are on social media, you might know this. Do you know what Booker's stats are against the New Orleans Pelicans this year?
It's like 40 a night, wasn't it?
It's 50 a night. He's the first player, other than Wilt Chamberlain, who you almost don't count in scoring titles because his stats are so ridiculous. He's the only player apart from Wilt who scored 50 against the same team three straight times playing them.
Yep.
Oh my god.
52 points per game on.
It's a great
79.4% true shooting. Now, for the one that you guys really can't guess, who does Devin Booker have his lowest points per game against? I will give you a hint. Sacramento. It is an Eastern Conference team.
I'm guessing it's someone bad because he just blows them out and doesn't play the fourth quarter.
Charlotte.
Dylan was on the right track. It is the Detroit Pistons. Yeah. Wow. 7 points per game against the Detroit Pistons.
7 points a game.
Seven.
Okay. Never.
What's he doing?
It's not that he doesn't have to play the fourth quarter. It's that he doesn't have to play the second, third, or fourth quarter. He just goes in the first quarter and they're up by 40.
That was the game requirement game.
It was he got injured playing 5 minutes. Points in the first 5 minutes. It would have been a great game. But all right. That has been 14 of our guys. There's just three kind of odd. Well, no, we talked about Jaylen Brown. So that's 15. So it's just my one Zion case. And then Dylan and Aaron, you guys have Steph Curry. Neither Jack or I put Curry in there.
Oh, I have
Jack. Yeah, Jack has Curry.
Yeah, I have
Jack,
Curry.
You have Curry?
On three.
How many guys do you have?
Booker. Don't do this to me. Booker, Curry, Brown, James Davis. That's five.
Booker. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Booker, you Curry, Brown, James Davis.
Yep. Because you eliminated Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah. Sorry.
Could have just had Halliburton.
No, I don't want to.
All right. Tell me about Curry. Why should I have him?
Still bitter about it. Does Curry need a case anymore?
He's the only good player on that team. He's the only
good player on that team.
Everyone else sucks on that team.
Yeah, that team is terrible. I don't know what the on-off stats are for the Warriors, but they're always terrible. And this year, they have to be uniquely terrible.
They're not crazy. They're not. But honestly, I feel like the thing is, when you're always on the court for a shitty, mediocre team, your on-off numbers look kind of funky. And so it's like, when the Warriors play well is literally random. Like, who knows? There's no rhyme or reason to when they start playing good basketball. Sometimes he's there, sometimes he's not.
Yeah. They're like plus 0.32 with him on versus with him off. It's like very little difference. But I think to Aaron's point, when he plays as much as he does, which it just skews all your numbers.
Yeah. With the garbage time filter, it's plus 3.7. So it's a little bit kinder.
Oh, okay. Glad the garbage time filter. I couldn't get there. I felt like Curry also has kind of the Tyrese Halliburton thing where he had a really good stretch and then fell off. And I'm like, I'm going to remember this Tyrese Halliburton season. I probably won't remember the Steph Curry season.
It's such an unreal start, though. The first 42 games, it's just like a big ass part of the season. It's 28 points, 5 assists, and 4 boards. He's taken 11.8 threes a game at 41% from deep.
It's Darren Fox.
It's like the greatest shooting season ever. I mean, he was spacing the floor and scoring from anywhere at a pace that just kept this Warriors team afloat. He had a 60. He had 60 in there at some point. Had a 60-point game. The guys that just missed the cut for me were Zion and Jalen Brown.
Yeah. I did a lot of Tyrese Maxey digging because someone asked me on TikTok about Maxey. And so, like, my guys that just missed were Curry, LeBron, and Maxey. And I felt like Maxey had a really good year, but just couldn't quite get him there.
I was poking around a bunch of other people's like mocked up all NBA teams, and I was shocked by how many people had Maxey. Maxey was a consideration, but he would be like, I would be sweating a little bit if I had to put him in a fourth team.
Really? Sweating for fourth?
Yeah.
Like, I felt like he's like my 18th guy here.
I'm just freestyling. So I'm freestyling. Yeah. I'm going off script. Yeah. But what, Zion? I'd want to put Zion in there. I'd want to put, I don't know. I'm not going to be able to do this off the top of my head. But it's because I'm just going to name five guys who don't meet the requirement. The five best guys that just didn't.
I wanted to make a case for Paolo because I feel like the Magic was so
Paolo
good.
Paolo is a guy I could make a case for, yes.
Do you know they're 8 points per 100 possessions better with him off than with him on?
I refuse to believe that matters.
Magic's bench is insane.
It's just Jonathan Isaac.
Yeah, they bring in Jonathan Isaac and all of a sudden, yeah.
Well, in the start of the year, the bench was insane with the Mo Wagner, Cole Anthony combo. It's just, they also do this weird thing where like they didn't want to fuck with their second unit. So for half the year, they just, when starters would get hurt, they'd pull the third stringers and start them. And it was like, maybe we don't need to play Caleb Houston as a starter. Like, just avoid that.
Sure, go Gogo Batadze for a while.
The Magic also score about 65 points a game. And so the on-off numbers are a little funky.
All right, let's plug our stuff in the circle. Well, here, Aaron, what you got to plug?
Possible Chairs on TikTok, Possible Chairs on Twitter, and my Patreon, Possible Chairs Media Lounge. Come hang out, read stuff I'm writing.
Dylan, where can the people find you?
Every week on the Hoops Temple podcast.
Jack the Kings fan, where can the people find you?
By that username on TikTok or Instagram, and at Twitter. On Twitter, Jack Dan Kaya.
You can find me, Nate_HoopsTemple on TikTok or YouTube. And you can email the pod at hoopstemple@gmail.com. Also, we've got the Discord. It's starting to be a little bit hopping. Come on, jump in, chat with us. We'd love to talk to you there. Na, 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 na. Na, na, na.